Welcome to this special radio program on World Food Day. Water, we can't live without it. But with rising population, mismanagement and pollution, water is becoming a scarce strategic commodity. By the year 2025, the world's population will double 10 billion people, and experts estimate that we will be sharing the same amount of water that we have today. So it is predicted that as early as in 2000, in some parts of the world, water would be more expensive than oil. To celebrate World Food Day this year, the United Nations Food and Agriculture Organization has called attention to the issue by launching the theme Water for Life. This program will examine some of the problems of water in the Caribbean as they affect agricultural development and fisheries, as well as options for the future for water saving and conservation. I'm Lilian Camberighi in FAO Rome. To present this program with me over the ocean at the end of the line in Barbados, Dean St. Hill of the Caribbean News Agency. Hello, Dean.
Yes, good morning, Lilian.
Good morning, Dean. I suppose you have a very interesting panel over there. Would you introduce them, please?
Yes, we certainly do. In Barbados at our Cana Radio Studios, it's my pleasure to introduce the Chief Agricultural Officer of the Ministry of Agriculture and Rural Development here in Barbados, Dr. Lionel Smith, and Dr. Patrick Alleen, the FAO representative in Barbados and the Eastern Caribbean.
Very good, and good morning to them all.
Good morning.
Greetings.
And here in Rome, at the headquarters of the Food and Agriculture Organization, two experts as well, Michael Chaudhuri, Fishery Resources Officer in the Land Fisheries and Aquaculture Service. He's a native from Jamaica. And Mr. Fernando Chanduvi, Technical Officer, Land and Water Development Division. He's from Peru. Dean, as we focus today on the Caribbean region, I would immediately hand over the microphone to you to open the discussion. Go ahead.
And my first, and I think one of the important questions, which I shall pose to Dr. Smith, is what are the problems associated with the whole question of water supply to the farmers of the Caribbean?
Well, the interesting thing about the Caribbean is you're dealing mainly with island states, or we're referring to them mainly here. And people usually think that there's a restriction of land area. Implicit in that is a restriction or limitation of the available renewable water. In other words, water which is available for development. And included in that would be water if it is available for agriculture. For instance, in many developed and continental countries, you find that agriculture takes about 70% of the available water. In the Caribbean, with very few exceptions, agriculture only uses about 30%, very often much less than 30% of the available water for agricultural production. And this is understandable in that we begin with a situation where the available or renewable water is limited, and domestic consumption of potable water is obviously the primary concern of the development agencies and the government. And therefore, agriculture tend to take that water, which is not considered to be necessary or needed immediately, I should say, for potable domestic consumption.
As we talk about the question of sustainable agricultural development, what role then does the question of our water supply have in relation to this issue?
Let me say that, following on from what Dr. Smith said, one of the situations here is that basically in most of our island states we have 6 to 7 months of a rainy season in which, so to speak, there's a kind of surplus. But we have a 5 to 6 months of dry season in which there's what you call a deficit in terms of what we get in relation to rainfall and what the requirements are. One of the problems we have to is really the details on real information statistics. And Dr. Smith is quite right in relation to the quantity used for agriculture versus other things, except that I know in the case of Jamaica, where they've started taking a closer look at what is actually being used, they are now using the figure of about 70%. for agriculture, and I think 22% for domestic purposes. But I think really in many countries, perhaps we're not really measuring it too precisely.
And at this stage, as you mentioned Jamaica, perhaps we should bring in Michael Chowdhury of the Inland Water Resources and Agriculture Service to tell us just a little bit about the whole question of the value of the inland water resources in the Caribbean particularly.
Yes, this is a very interesting and important question. Now, the general picture, as you explained, there is a shortage of water, fresh water, even though we have quite a good amount of rainfall, primarily because of small land mass, and the water runs off very quickly, goes into the sea. And we don't have much of storage facilities to hold the water for future use. And because of the same reason, the freshwater aquatic resources in the Caribbean as a whole is rather poor and very, very limited. Take, for example, the fisheries. In most of the island nations, freshwater fisheries resource is very, very limited. In fact, the entire fisheries of the most of the countries are based on marine capture fisheries. Freshwater fisheries is so little that it may not be more than 2 or 3% of the total fisheries on the average. And this is the reason why aquaculture is important to produce fish, which is so important for our diet and for our taste, and we are fish eating people, and we must find alternative means to produce fish. And as you know, most of our countries import a lot of fish from abroad, and it is a tremendous drain on our foreign exchange. So on the whole, from the fisheries point of view, I think we should develop new policies and strategies to encourage freshwater aquaculture development wherever there is the potential.
Michael, there's just one point I'd like to make to give us that upfront background picture.
Yeah.
And it goes along with what you said before. And I think we need to emphasize to the audience that the typical topography in lots of our islands with high mountain ranges, limited space, is also what contributes to what we call the high rates of runoff. And also our extensive deforestation is also adding to the problem. And we need to emphasize that when we start thinking in terms of sustainable development in the long term.
You are right. You are 100% right. These are the basic problems. And in terms of fisheries, we have to really approach very carefully. There are potentials, but there are a lot of limitations. And we have to approach this problem very carefully, cautiously, and planning very well. And I fully agree with you with the problems you have mentioned.
Okay, perhaps as we begin to seek out some of the solutions, I can bring in our other expert to just give us at least an overview of the sorts of directions we should be looking at in order to find some solutions to these problems. Mr. Fernando Chanduvi?
Well, I want to refer to some challenges that irrigation faces in the Caribbean area. To start, you have to think that the main crops in the area are sugarcane and bananas. We must provide adequate water supply for these crops when they are under irrigation. Several irrigation schemes are in need of improvement and rehabilitation. The overall irrigation efficiencies are, in some countries, in the neighborhood of 35%. That means that we lose about 65% of all the water that we use for irrigation. And another important challenge is that the crops under irrigation must be profitable. Sugarcane and bananas are facing heavy competition, and in some instances, governments subsidize irrigation water, and well, this also has some social aspects which are very important.
Okay.
All right. No, I think that what you have to recognize, and I think you made the point, that except there's a good return to the investment on irrigation, you won't find a crop like cane or bananas being irrigated in the Caribbean. And this leads to another problem, in that when you don't intensively use your water, you tend to consume a larger area of land to attain the same level of production. But in the Caribbean, I think you'll notice that the crops that are irrigated to any extent are mainly vegetable crops, crops with a comparatively high return on investment. And I believe when you take into account also that the water that will ultimately be available for agriculture is limited, then you cannot afford to irrigate to any large extent the crops like cane or industrial crops or cotton, as would be done, let's say, as would occur in a developed area with a large water resource. And I could go back to the first point I made. One of the most limiting factors to sustainable agriculture in the Caribbean is water and not land. Although because they're small land masses, you begin to think that land is restricted. But in fact, from all the evidence that I've studied in the Caribbean, water is going to be the limiting factor. Now, particularly now that populations are beginning to grow, and you're finding that the demand for water resources, now you're coming to the point of the limit where the available water per person, and that is if you take population density, is at the point now where the demand is beginning to exceed the normal supply. And this will come into the type of policies that government will have to think of in the next 10 or 15 years.
From the FAO, this is Water for Life. Towards the solutions, we've heard that water is one of the limiting factors as we seek sustainable agricultural development in the Caribbean. Now, what are the solutions, gentlemen? Where do we go to from here in terms of the technology, Dr. Ali?
Yeah, let me just probably add on a bit to what Dr. Smith was saying too. And one of the problems really is getting the information. Even researching the issue, so to speak, in terms of the levels of profitability that we can demonstrate to our farmers on the different systems. And he was quite right, for example, with regard to the range of crops on the irrigation, because only, I would tell you, only in Jamaica I know there's some amount of irrigation, let's say, with bananas and sugar cane. Whilst there's a wide range of crops, vegetable crops, tomatoes, carrots, a wide range of crops in some of the other islands, only recently we were looking at the, I would say, the good results of an irrigation project that FAO put in place, started up, so to speak, in Antigua, and they are really reaping the benefits there of irrigation with onions and so on. So I think one of the things is to be able to get the facts, to be able to demonstrate the level of profitability, because as governments get into a tight bind with structural adjustments and so on, there's less scope, really, for subsidizing. I'm not saying that they're not going to, but they're less able to. And there's a question of what we call the realistic cost of water. And that becomes a real issue. But to get back to the question raised is one of technology. The design of systems suitable to the particular patterns of agriculture going on. And then we have to change those patterns, too. And one part I think we need to do is to look at really ways and means of harnessing water for irrigation in simpler systems, people are sort of have a focus that it's got to be something big, and I don't think we have done enough in terms of capturing the resources that are available within the local communities and putting things in place that can harness the available water.
Perhaps I should throw it over to one of our experts as well in Italy.
Mr. Chandovi probably would have examples of solutions to how the way we should capture this water and retain the water. What is FAO doing at the moment in the region?
Well, I will talk about Jamaica. In Jamaica, for example, the government is subsidizing irrigation schemes by about 90%. I mean, operation and maintenance cost is mostly paid by the government. So in order to encourage to improve water management, we are promoting farmers' participation. When farmers participate, they are fully aware of the importance of conserving and improving water management, not only in Jamaica, but also in neighborhood countries, for example, Mexico and all Central America. The farmers' participation in irrigation schemes is fully supported nowadays by FAO.
Mr. Chowdhury, I wonder if you want to explain a little bit this farmers' participation. I know it's a term that people hear all the time. But could you explain a little bit exactly what you mean, you know, for illustration?
What I mean by farmers' participation is farmers should come forward to explain their desire for an irrigation scheme. Government might provide the technical know-how for the design, but later farmers must contribute with capital cost for irrigation works and also pay for the operation and maintenance through their own organizations. This is what we mean by farmer participation.
Just let me make 2 points. I think the first thing I should point out is that the Caribbean is fortunate in the sense that irrigation is a comparatively recent, within the last 10 years, on any major scale among farmers. And therefore, we are fortunate in the sense that we are now tending to find that farmers are using a fairly high level of technology. In other words, take, for instance, in Barbados, you'll find that at least 50% of the farms which are irrigated are using drip irrigation systems as opposed to any other form of irrigation. And I believe that in the other islands around in the Caribbean, that there's a fairly efficient use of the water that is made available to them. The farmers are now getting to the point where they are trying to pattern themselves off of the successful farmers, and the demand for irrigation water is increasing. Now, it means that governments have to decide, should you allow individual farmers to develop their own resource? In other words, do you allow them to dig wells or tap into the stream? Or should you have national irrigation projects? In other words, you take an area where there's other underground aquifer or surface flow and put that into a national system. I think those are some of the questions that are being asked. And the farmers, the demand among farmers tend to exceed the ability or the capability of governments to implement a national scheme. And it is an area in which we have to find a mechanism of having farmer participation, and farmers are capital poor. How do you get them involved in a scheme or into a project which requires high capital, which the government inputs are slow in coming, even if the political will is there. But the demand is immediate. I think we have in the Caribbean to work out a system in which we can get farmers into irrigated schemes or get irrigation to farmers at a faster rate than is currently occurring.
I'm wondering if there is a case for a role to be played by aquaculture within the existing framework of our farms, perhaps as a useful way of storage, if that is at all possible. And perhaps I should throw that over to our aquacultural expert.
Yes, thank you very much. I was going to come to this point anyway. I am glad that you brought it up. Nowadays, our theme globally is to integrate aquaculture with agriculture. The simple reason is that if we keep them separate, we are fighting for the same basic resources, whether it is agriculture or aquaculture. In aquaculture, we need water. We need certain inputs which are common with agriculture. And by separately doing them, we are competing against each other and not rather helping, we're going against each other. So our new theme is now is the integration of aquaculture with agricultural activities within the framework of the farming system development as presently taking place. And then we find that there is no resource competition. We are rather helping each other, agriculture, livestock, and aquaculture. And as a result, total farm income of a farmer increases. And by diversifying a farmer's activities, we give him more security of income and security for his future. So this is our new theme, and I would like to see in the Caribbean context, this is the future. In Cuba, they have already started looking into this, and Jamaica also planning for this. It is not easy, but it is not too difficult either. And time is ripe to think about it, plan for it, and to develop it.
Just to get some ideas out, are you talking, for example, about like rice and fish?
That's right. We have rice and fish together wherever there is rice cultivation with at least 15 centimeter of water available in the rice field. We can have fish culture at the same time. There are ways and means of digging additional trenches within the rice field to increase the depth of water in certain areas where the fish can hide and feed and grow.
Any ideas for smaller farmers within the Caribbean island states? Anything mixed up with vegetables?
Yes, vegetables could be integrated. Livestock like chicken, pig farming, all this could be integrated with aquaculture, because the waste products which are generated by livestock, like chicken excreta, and all the wastes coming out of a pig farm, this could be all used as a fertilizer to fertilize the water in the pond, where you can have herbivorous fish, omnivorous fish, which can be growing at a very fast growth rate without artificially feeding them. So the systems are already there. These are proven in China, in India, Philippines, Indonesia. And what is needed is to introduce them and to adapt them into our systems in the Caribbean with certain modifications as required.
It certainly sounds as though the FAO has a very critical and important role to play if we are to see this become a reality. And perhaps Dr. Aline, you can tell us about some of the plans which the FAO may have in terms of perhaps a greater and a deeper commitment to the Caribbean as a region.
Well, first I can assure you there's no lack of commitment on the part of FAO to the Caribbean. We are working in all the countries, and at the moment we're actively developing additional projects. And as I pointed out to you, only yesterday I was speaking to the people in Antigua and with regard to the irrigation project that we have set up there. And we have also been looking at possibilities for fisheries development, aquaculture, both in terms of marine culture, which we're not focusing on this morning, but also with regard to the possibilities of inland aquaculture. There's some activity going on in some of the islands, for example, Dominica and St. Lucia. And I would anticipate that there's some scope for our involvement there. What I think is very interesting is listening to Mr. Chowdhury. In other words, can we do something? Can we introduce what is proven systems elsewhere, especially with regard to our small vegetable farmers. I'm not aware that we have done that in any of the islands so far, and I think that there's a lot of scope for that area. But I just want to make the point with regard to water generally, and Dr. Smith indicated that just so when he talked about planning. In other words, the whole question of an overall plan for water. Now, of course, the governments are concerned not only with agriculture, but with health and housing. But FAO definitely has a very meaningful role with regard to assisting governments in terms of their national planning, but with particular reference to agriculture, the integrated planning for the use of the overall water resources.
Right. And what is the importance of government policy at this stage? Now that we have reached the stage, I think we have pretty much identified a possible solution. What role would governments in the Caribbean be able to play in this regard?
Well, I think you have to recognize that all the governments of the Caribbean, and all of them are interested in development, economic development. And there's hardly any economic development activity that does not impact or require water resources to be utilized or consumed. For instance, many islands of the Caribbean are concentrating on tourism. And tourism itself, whether for the hotel consumption of water, domestic consumption, or for recreational areas, parks, golf courses, etc., they're making a demand on what I consider to be the most limited resource, water. And therefore, governments have to balance development objectives, whether it is tourism, industrialization, or agriculture, against the most limited resource. And therefore, I suspect that from a planning point of view, the government will look at it in economic and financial terms. In other words, if I utilize my water resource, which economic activity is likely to give me the highest return to the use of that resource? And therefore, I suspect that the irrigation part of agricultural use will take a lower priority in the long run or be limited to high-value crops which can be integrated into the tourist sector. Because I think every island almost exclusively in the Caribbean is now concentrating on service-type industries, mainly because they recognize that they're resource-poor. And therefore, I suspect that the irrigation use of water will be limited to crops like fruit, fresh fruit production, exotic plants, flowers, and crops that can be fed into the tourist industry, so that the policy of the government will be at the planning level and making those allocations. In other words, you're making your broad allocations of how much water or how much input, what priority should be given to various sectors of the economy based on the fact that water is required for almost every activity.
Okay, thank you, Dr. Patrick Aline, the FAO representative in Barbados in the Eastern Caribbean, and with me also in Barbados, Dr. Lionel Smith, Chief Agricultural Officer, the Ministry of Agriculture and Rural Development. I'm Dean Sinthill, and in Italy, Liliane.
Yes, Dean. Thank you, Dean. I also thank the FAO experts in Rome, Mr. Michael Choudhury, Fishery Resources Officer, and Mr. Fernando Chanduvi, Technical Officer in Land and Water Development. This was a special program on World Food Day, jointly produced by the Radio and TV Branch in FAO and the Caribbean News Agency Broadcasting Service Barbados.